If the choir would come on up, please.
Thank you. Almost slipped on that step there. Okay, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord today. Good to see everybody. We got a guest, Brother Nathan, here in just a second. You want to come up and just give a brief introduction to you and your family? So wave really quick at me. He's a missionary. Anybody know where he's a missionary to?
Yeah.
Iceland. How many of you ever met a missionary to Iceland? How many of you even knew that people lived on Iceland? So,
everybody.
All right. So I'm gonna take his thunder a little bit. Iceland has 350,000 people in it, and it's the size of Kentucky, right? And his wife said, he said you don't go to Iceland because you want to go to Iceland. You're either born there or you go there for work. You know, in the summertime, you may go there to visit, but then you get out of there because the reason why they call it Iceland, right? But I'm excited about this. He grew up in a pastor's home, and his wife's parents were missionaries to the military in Iceland. And you think, why would God send somebody all the way to Iceland? And especially, he's 24 years old, got a new baby. Why would God do that? Because the Bible says, go ye. When Jesus left, he said this, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And so God is sending somebody to Iceland because God cares about the people who live in Iceland. And there's 350. So the largest independent Baptist church in Iceland runs how many people, Nathan?
About 30.
The largest independent Baptist church in Iceland runs 30 people. You know, so and it's not an easy place to go. And if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it, right? You know, but I'm excited about this couple. I'm going to have him come and introduce himself. Remember to pray for Brother Lloyd and Betty. Betty lost her brother. This week, you get a chance to reach out to her. We can get you their phone number. Make sure you pray for her. That's always hard, you know. And what do you say to somebody who just lost? I mean, there's not a thing in the world you can say that's going to make that feel better. The only thing we have is a hope in heaven, a hope in Jesus Christ. That's the reason why he came to die, not only to save us from our sins, not only so we don't have to go to hell, so that we can be reunited one day in heaven, and we can when it hurts. And here's the thing. Eventually, that's going to happen to everybody in this room, or you're going to know somebody that's going to happen. You know, Helen Baptist Church is not going to escape that. We're going to lose people. You know, it could be me, could be you. It's inevitable. The hope that we hold on to is that Jesus Christ, when he paid for our sins, he conquered death, he conquered the grave, and there's going to be a reunion one day, and every person that crosses the other side just makes that reunion a little sweeter. Please pray for that family. Brother Ace, you want to come real quick, give us just a quick update on what you're doing? And then Brother Ronnie.
Amen. Golden day, yeah, hey, Nathan, you're more thankful for the president, you're more thankful for the team, our talent, and Iker. Now, Pastor, don't freak out, I'm not speaking in tongues.
I didn't know what you were doing.
Just wanted to introduce myself in Icelandic there. So I just said, hello, my name is Nathan, and I'm thankful for Pastor, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak with you guys this morning. We've had just a great opportunity, just the blessing of just being able to travel. And I thank you, Pastor, for being able to work with our schedule and reschedule just a little bit. I definitely appreciate that. But my name is Nathan. Nathan Sears is my wife, Megumi. Wave for me if you would, baby. And then little Everett there, he's giving me the scared eyes, like, what? What's going on? But he has just turned 10 months old, and we are just so honored and thrilled to be here with you guys this morning. And so we are sent out of Coastal Light Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and assisted by Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples out of Jacksonville, Florida. And if you come back tonight, you'll hear a little bit more about Iceland, a little bit more about the country. I believe if we can get it all worked out, we'll have a video presentation for the country, and I'll get up and I'll say a few more things. But thank you, honestly, Pastor Richard, again. That's all I'm going to say. Just thank you for the opportunity to be here, and we're looking forward to it.
All right, everybody, please stand. Our congregational hymn will be number 299. Get that red hymn book, and if our brother deacons will come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Priest, would you ask to bless the offering, please? Thank you.
Okay. Get this on here real quick this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I was went to Pine Grove Baptist Church with Pastor Ackham on Friday. They had him over there to present his work. And I saw, of course, that is on the back of most churches in the wall of most churches in this area. When you go up north, you don't see that so much. Different culture, different heritage. But I noticed on their board, it was different than on our board. They had a spot there that counted the Sunday school. And then you had the Sunday school offering, and there was something else that was counted. It was how many Bibles were in church. They actually counted that. And you think about that. Now, we're not going to count Bibles here this morning. But you think about coming into church. The reason why it's important to bring a Bible, and I guess nowadays you could do it on your phone, which is probably you're less likely to forget that, is so that you're able to go back and look at it later on, right? I mean, think about what we have that other generations don't have. Moses, when he was ministering, he did not have the whole Bible. You know, even when Jesus was here, they didn't have the whole Bible. We may not have the in-your-face miracles that you see, you know, happen in the Old Testament, but you have something which is equally as great, if not greater. You have the Word of God. It's available. Anybody can own one that wants one. You can take it home with you. You can read it in the morning. You can read it at lunchtime. You can read it before you go to bed. It's available to you whenever you want it. And that's a wonderful blessing. And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to follow along with me in James chapter 1 this morning. You follow along in your Bible. And I just want to this morning think about this this thought that we're going to read here in James chapter 1. Let's pray. We'll go on. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, just be able to come back to your house today. Lord, thank you we're able to see some folks, Lord, we haven't seen in a while. We're thankful that we're able to come back together and Lord, just to be as a family again and be about your business. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would encourage us from your word. And Jesus, I just pray that we'd leave here different than when we came. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being very kind and forgiving in our lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And I did want to say this. We do have, as COVID starts to get better and the vaccine, we're able to see people. And we have Alexander today. I haven't seen him in a while. Thank you. And there's many more. But we got a special in Cassidy. You want to hold your little one up real quick? Can you do that? Now she's sleeping. Don't wake her. All right. There you go. Okay. That's nice to see. That's one way to grow a church. Amen. And thankful for that family. There's many more that we're able to see come back. Now, let's see. Give me your baby's name. Wait. Let's see if I can guess. No, I'm not going to be. No, go ahead. Denver. I knew it was a name of a city, and I just didn't want to name the wrong one. But thank you for bringing her today, and I'm just glad we're able to get back to some normality, and thank God for new life, and we can get on past this COVID thing. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. When you think about this, when he wrote this, when you look at Israel today, what you see in Israel is if you've seen a coming together. Do you know that even in Ethiopia, that there are over 40,000 Ethiopians that have pilgrimaged to Israel, and they call themselves Jews because they're descendants of Jews, you know, from the Bible. God has brought all of them together, and it's kind of neat to see where they're scattered here, but not so much now. They have their country again. It goes on to say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, why would you do that? Because it's an opportunity for God to show up in our lives, no matter if we do have diverse temptations, even if we have troubles and trials, we know that God is with us. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Sometimes we get ahead of God. Sometimes we get anxious. You know, there's no reason to be anxious. There's no reason to worry. Our only goal is to follow the Lord and to obey Him. The rest of that is His doing. He's going to keep His word. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We just have to worry about following Him. We just need to worry about honoring Him. And He's going to take care of those things in our life. Knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I mean, we've all made bad decisions. We've all made wrong turns. We recognize God can see around the corner. I can't see around the corner. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know where that path's going to take me. All I know is God's already been there. Amen. And if that is true, that He's already been in the future, He already knows it, well, then it would only make sense for me to seek wisdom from Him, because He knows everything and He knows what tomorrow holds. And therefore, you know, there's no sense in me worrying about it. Okay, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And that's hard for us to do, because when we may go to God, have you ever gone to God with a problem and we say, God, I'm going to give you this problem, and then 10 minutes later you take the problem back, you start trying to figure out how to solve that problem immediately. But when we have faith in God, faith is leaving that problem there, believing and knowing He's going to take care of it. And He can't. Every time I take it back, all I do is mess it up anyways. But to just give it to Him, and it says here, do so, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Okay, I give it to God. No, I want it back. No, here, God, you have it. No, I want it back. No, here, you have it. And then what you have is you have a place that's rocky, that's not stable. You know, I can see God looking down from heaven saying, Dave, would you just make up your mind what you're going to do? You're either going to trust me or you're not going to trust me. You're either going to follow me or you're not going to follow me. One minute I'm the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, and the next minute you don't talk to me for days. Would you just make up your mind what you're going to do? You know, to have faith that doesn't waver, when you put it in God's hands, you leave it in God's hands, the devil will come in and say, well, no, you know, that's dumb. You need to do this or you need to do that. But it's just giving it to God and saying, no, if He is God, can He not handle my problems? Yes or no? If He's not able to help me with my problems, how's He going to keep me out of hell? How is He pay for my sins for all of eternity? If my problems are too big, how did He do the rest of that, right? And it goes on to say this, for let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So a man that just cannot make up his mind, a man that cannot decide what path he's on, where one day we're just on fire for the Lord, and the next day we're as low as we can be, and then up again and down again, and up again and down again. And the Bible says that kind of Christian, he's unstable. Doesn't know what direction that he's going to go. I mean, if you catch him on a good day, great. If you catch him on a bad day, well, you don't want to be anywhere near him, because it's just constantly up and down. And here's the thought this morning. The same thing that when Elijah was on the mountain and got all the children of Israel together, the children of Israel had begun to worship Baal. People that were in church, okay, aren't doing that anymore. They're beginning to drift out in the world. Elijah gets on that mountain. He gets all of Israel together and he says, okay, today we're going to decide one thing. If God is God, then serve Him. If Baal is God, then let's all build little idols. Let's all make false altars. And let's follow Him. But no more going back and forth. If He is God, if God is God, and He died for you, and He sent Jesus to pay for your sins, does He not deserve our whole devotion, yes or no? Okay, if He does, then that ought to be evident in our life, how we live, if that is true. If God is God, than 100% hammered down, pedal to the metal, no in, can there be in between with God? Can you serve God halfway? Can you serve God half-hearted? He doesn't want halfway. It's either you're in or you're out. It's either you're living for him or you're not living for him. You cannot straddle the world and God at the same time. You can't keep your feet in both worlds at the same time. And you know what? He has let you make that decision. And you can prove it when he said, if God is God, serve him. Decision number one. If Baal is God, then serve him. He did not force them to make that decision. He gave that them that decision and then said, what are you going to do with that decision? And our problem with convincing this world is we're the only light most people will ever see. You know, there are a lot of people out there today doing whatever they want to on Sunday. You're here. On Monday, you go back out there. And it's your life that they look at. And if we tell them that God means something to us, they ought to be able to look in our life and be able to see the devotion to him. If God is really real, what does that mean down here? If God is really real and he's coming back, how does that translate into what I do tomorrow with that in mind? Because he says, Dave, a double-minded man is unstable. Not in just part of my ways, but in all of my ways. And Joshua told him the same thing. He said, choose you who you're going to serve. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to do this. We've already determined God is real. We already determined God is holy. We already determined Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And because of that, we're going to follow him. We've already made up our mind. We're not going to go back and forth. But many times as Christians, that's where we spend 90% of our life is, I mean, you can get really up and all of a sudden just really low and then back up to being really up again. And God says, Dave, listen, quit wavering like a wave in the sea. If I'm real, then just follow me. Can I tell you something? You know, following God and trusting God and making up that mind and saying, if the promises of this book are true, then why wouldn't I follow them? If the promises of this book are real, why wouldn't I live my life according to what's written in this book? If it is real, do you know that you should be able to follow God blindly? You don't want to follow me blindly. You don't want to follow the governments of this world blindly. You know why? Because they'll lead you right in the ditch. But do you know, Sean, can I take you for a sec? I need something. A blanket. Let me have this blanket here real quick. Okay? Put that over your head, would you? Okay. All right. And everybody said amen. Okay? Now he can't see. All right? If I'm God and he's me, I mean, he ought to be able to see. He's even holding back. I can tell it, right? Because he doesn't know what I'm going to walk. He is not walking. But you know what? God ought to be able to take me. No hand. Just me follow him. And I don't need to see what tomorrow holds. I don't need to know what problems lie ahead of me. I don't need to know any of that. All I need to know is God's out front and I'm following him. I ought to be able to follow him on an ark and let it float for 40 days. I ought to be able to get on that boat and not wonder how's this going to happen or where's it going. All I got to know is God is on that ark. I ought to be able to follow God out of the Ur of Chaldees, move my family to wherever he... Can you imagine Abraham saying, because he doesn't know, Come on. The illustration still needed. Abraham couldn't see what was out there. All he knew is God said, move. You know what? If God is God, you can leave everything you've ever known. You can go to a place where you've never been before. You can set up camp. If God is God and he says, let's go, you can follow him off the edge of the earth and you're going to be okay. Because that's who he is. You can follow him. You can follow him out of Egypt or with a million people and have the whole army behind you. And you know you're going to be okay.
because God is in front of you. You can march into a city with great big walls all around it and not worry how they're going to come down because God's in front of you. That's what it means to get in our mind. If God is God, I can follow him blindly. I don't need to know all the answers. I don't need to know what's ahead of me. All I have to know and see is God, because he's got it all from there. Then I ought to be able to 100% just live for him. I know he's going to take care of me. I know he's going to provide for me. I know he's not going to leave me. It doesn't matter how bad the wind blows or how big the waves get. I know he can never change, and he's never going to fall. He's never going to sin. He's going to be there forever. And if I can just get my mind on that, get my eyes fixed on that, then that's all I need. And can I tell you something? If God is that kind of God, then why would I be double-minded? Why would I give it to him 1 minute and the next minute take it back? Why would I stand up in church, talk about how good God is? I don't need to see. All I need to see is him. Thank you, Brother Sean. They'll probably never forget that. Let's go to this, if you would. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Go to the book of Ephesians and chapter 3. I want to read a little bit of this. Ephesians chapter 3. I was looking for some water. I don't have any, so push on. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." Okay, I want you to go down to, let's go down to verse 7. "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable..." Look at this. He went to the Gentiles and he preached to them the unsearchable riches of God. He went to them, he took... Think about that word. Okay? It says here, I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. They're so vast. What I have in Christ is so vast. You cannot, you can search and you'll never come to the end of the goodness of God. Why in the world would I not sell out and follow that 100% wholeheartedly? He took to the Gentiles a richness that cannot be, you can't spend it all. You can't use it all. There's more than you will ever need available in Christ. What Christ can do for you, Christ in your life, equals unsearchable riches. You can look all over the world and you will never find or benefit from anything like you benefit from a relationship and Jesus Christ. There's nothing out there can do for you in a job, in a marriage, and your kids, whatever element of your life. There is nothing out there that can ever benefit you more than a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it doesn't just stop at salvation. It's in every aspect of my life, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's what he's saying. Dave, that's not a hard decision. Why are you going back and forth? Do you think God should ever have to go to Israel and say, okay, make up your mind? If I'm real, then live for me. If Baal's real, live for him. I mean, that's even insane that you would even give somebody that option. But what he's saying is, listen, Israel, you're trying to do both. You don't understand what I can do for you. You don't understand where I can take you, because the decision wouldn't be a decision. It would be absolutely a no-brainer. What does the Bible say? That the kingdom of heaven is like a man that finds a treasure in a field. And what does he do with that treasure? What does he do with that field? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What he does with that field when he finds it, he says the kingdom of God is like this. A man finds a treasure in a field. He then sells everything that he has everything. That means you take every hope you have, every dream you have, and you get rid of it in exchange for one thing, what God wants for your life. You can, anything that you think you could accomplish, anything that you think you could do without him, you take all of that and you sell every bit of that. And then you take it and you put it in one investment, and that is God. Everything you have, you get rid of, you bundle it up, and you do it in one investment in God. And that one investment just grows. You know, I went to visit some folks that heard me preach in Rochester. In fact, I'm going up there next week. And we got on the subject of Bitcoin. You know, and I remember when Bitcoin came out, 2010. You know, I was starting to make decisions about going to Africa. And people talk about, hey, y'all need to invest in Bitcoin. And I'm thinking, what kind of nonsense is that? And I don't even know if you've ever sat down and had anybody explain to you what it is. You know, I mean, you can't even touch it. It's crazy. But my, Stephen would come up to me, you know, you hear parents talk and, you know, talk about money. And Stephen came up to me one time with a quarter and said, Dad, I want to help buy a house. And he had a quarter. And you look at him and you think, well, that's a great kid, but that ain't even going to put air in a tire, right? It takes four of those to put air in a tire. This quarter is no good. I told Stephen this morning the story. Do you know if you would have bought Bitcoin in 2010, it was like 10 cents per Bitcoin. If you bought two Bitcoins in 2010, that same Bitcoin today would be worth $60,000. And there are people probably wouldn't raise their hand today because I just told you how much it's worth. There's probably people in this room that probably bought Bitcoin when it was 10 cents a piece, who now, if they have two of them, is worth $120,000. I talked to a guy yesterday. He told me his whole entire financial portfolio. He doesn't invest in stocks. He doesn't invest in bonds. He took his whole entire portfolio and dumped it all into Bitcoin because he believes that much in Bitcoin. Well, you know what? I missed the boat on Bitcoin, but I didn't miss the boat on God. Because I don't care how old you are or how late in the game that you get in. The benefits are all the same. And you know what? I can look at Apple, and I can have all kinds of regrets. And I can look at IBM back when IBM was big and wish I would have bought that. I can look around here at land, and some of you guys got land when it was $200 an acre. Now it's $5,000 an acre, and that boat sailed for me. I got to pay the $5,000. But what hasn't sailed is Jesus Christ, and he can still invest in him. I might not be a stockholder in Bitcoin, but I got something much bigger than that, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then all of those things will be added unto me. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but I miss that investment. May I tell you something today? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And he was saying, David, you don't understand. I can walk on water. I can slay giants. I can create kingdoms, and I can tear them down again. And I love you, and I know who you are, and you're my child. Just follow me. That's it, Dave. Just follow me. That's all you need to do. Make a decision to live for me. Honor me. You'll never lack. You'll never be lonely. You'll never be by yourself. You will have everything you need. You might not have everything you want, but you're going to have everything you need. And when God is in your life, what else do you want? I mean, what else could you possibly give me that I don't already own right now? I have a home in heaven I didn't pay for. I got a ticket there that I didn't pay for. My sins are forgiven, and I didn't pay for it. It was all free for me. And he says, Dave, why is it so hard? Quit being like the ocean. I don't even know where you're at today, because last week you were loving me. Haven't heard from you all this week. Now you're in church again. What side are you on? Who you fighting for? Who you living for? Dave, just make up your mind and just follow me. And when we do, all of those things, you know what he told him? Take no thought. This is funny. I was down in Pennsylvania. I hung around the Amish a lot. Well, they can't drive. So they wanted to go. I would go to these horse auctions, and I would pick them up and take them with me because I had a trailer. Well, we get there, and on the way there, I was talking to this to the Amish. I was witnessing to them, and I told them about what the Bible verse says, take no thought. And I said, you know what? God is in control. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to take thought for tomorrow. Well, we get there, and we're bidding on horses, and I bought one, and this little Amish kid, he bought a two-year-old colt that had never been in a trailer. And PETA was there, the People for Ethical, they were watching us load this horse, right? Well, I'm telling you what, that colt did not want to get in that trailer for nothing. I'm skiing on pavement. It's running down there, and I'm skiing behind it, trying to hold on. And the Amish kid's got the other rope. What a mess. We fought with that horse for 30 minutes trying to get it in that trailer. The PETA lady is like, oh, you need to be gentle. I'm thinking, you come hold this rope, and let's see how gentle. This thing's trying to kill me, and you're worried about the horse? 30 minutes later, I get that stupid horse in that trailer, and I looked at him, and I said, why did you buy that animal? You know what he told me? He said, well, preacher, you told me, take no thought. And I said, let's reverse that. Sometimes you need to take thought. You know? I mean, that was his act. Take no thought. May I tell you something as a Christian? You know what he said, Dave? Well, what about my clothes? What about this? What about what I'm going to... You know what he said? Look at me, Dave. He said, listen, you understand? I can make food out of rocks. I can call it out of thin air. I can do whatever I want. The only requirement I ask of you is you just love me. You just live for me. And I promise you, I will knock it over that fence every day for you. You don't have to worry about it. When your heart breaks, there's a grace that's available for me that can heal any hurt, that can get into any crack in your life, and it can put that balm of Gilead all over that. And when you were in pain and when you were hurting, all of a sudden you're going to be able to have joy when you should. He's going to take that mourning, and he's going to replace that mourning with joy in your life. He said, Dave, all I need you to do is just love me. All I need you to do is just live for me. That's it. You don't have to worry about how the stars stay up there. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to your country. You don't have to worry about pandemics. All you have to do is get up in the morning and make sure I'm first in your life. All you got to do is make sure you're sold out for me. Dave, I can walk on water. I can part the Red Sea. I can speak and the waves lay flat. Dave, all you got to do is follow me. Do you understand? He's up in heaven wondering, why in the world are we holding on to things you can't hold on to? Why are we living for things that are temporal? When God said that this is my morality, this is my holiness, this is the way I want you to live, and I'm not trying to control your life, I'm trying to set you free. You know what he said? I am the way. I'm the way. Where? I want to go to heaven. Hey, he said, Dave, I'm the way. I want my kids to be okay. I want to see my kids in heaven. Jesus says, I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the life. All you have to do is just live for me. Let me ask you something. Would you say today that you are living your absolute best for Jesus Christ? Are you sold out to him? Are you trying? The reason why it's unstable, if you got one leg over here and one leg over here, and this is moving and this is moving, you're not going to be stable. You're going to be rocking all over the place. You can't live in both worlds. Oh, we've all tried it. We've all tried to just, and we don't even maybe plan it way over here. We keep it right on the edge so we can jerk it back real quick before somebody sees. Right on the edge, but we're trying to do both. And we're wondering, well, where, man, I tell you what. God can do anything. You know what he said here in James? Well, back to James. He said, let's go back there real quick. James, let me get there. I want to read that to you. It's, where did would you? Hebrews, James, there we go. It says this. If any of you, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And let no man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So when he says this, the word to ask with nothing wavering, that is just believing in our mind that he can do whatever he says that he can do. And all I need to do, that's why he says, you can say to that mountain, if you had a grain, as a big of a mustard seed, if you had faith that big, you could say to that mountain, be removed, they'd be cast in the sea. The reason why he even writes something like that is because he says, the problem's not me. The problem's you. You're the only one holding me back. You're the only one getting in between what I can do. It's not me. I can unleash any power that needs to be unleashed. It's not me. It's you. It's whether or not you can trust me. Put your kids in his hands. He can take care. You do it, you'll mess it up. Put it in God's hands, he's got it. Put your marriage in his hands. I mean, the hours we try holding, we're trying just to live with other people and trying not to kill each other, trying to raise kids, trying to have a 40-year anniversary, and you're living with real human beings all around. Do you know that if each person in any relationship in this room would just simply do one thing, and that is get your double-mindedness fixed, focus it on God, and you fix every problem in this room. Every single problem that you had before you came in can get fixed with this one simple thing. Just sell out to him. That's it. Just do what he says. Well, I don't want to forget. Well, you know what? Then keep dealing with your problems. Or you can let it go. Because he says let it go. And follow him. Into the future where the problem doesn't exist with him. And leave it here. And let other people deal with it. Now, you know what? If two people do that, one person, you're still going to get peace. Boy, I tell you what, if two people do that, oh, man. You know, and it just all has to do with whether or not one person is going to say, listen, if this is really true, I can run as fast as I can. Think about putting that blanket back on Sean, standing him back here and saying, Sean, I want you to run as fast as you can from here to that end. Chances are he's going to plow into those chairs. He's going to flip. We're going to, you know what God could actually do? God could actually do this. As he's running, God can come over to this chair, and he can just move it out of the way. And he can come over to this chair, and he can be 5 steps ahead of Sean. Just do it all the way to the end until all the way you get back there, and he made it and didn't hit one single thing. You know why? Because that's what God can do. God can get ahead of us. God can jerk things out of the way. He can put things in place that wasn't in place before. He can do every bit of that. And it's just whether or not that we say, okay, if this is real, then I really need to read my Bible every day. If this is real, man, I need to start having an actual prayer time. If that kind of relationship's available, how often do you think you should talk to God if you could have that in your life? How much of your life do you think that ought to involve if that actually could be part of who you are? I mean, you would think, what? I mean, I know people that get up in the morning, pastors, and they say, my goal is to make an extra $100 a day day trading. They get up at 2-4 o'clock in the morning, they watch all kinds of charts and stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. And then they're trying to read the market and say, okay, all right, it's going up, sell, boom. What if you did the same thing with the Bible? What if you did the same thing with your prayer? What if you said, you know what? I'm going to invest an hour talking to the creator of the universe. You do that every day for a week and you let me know how your spiritual portfolio looks like. Because all of a sudden you'll have a peace you didn't have before. All of a sudden you'll have wisdom that you didn't have before. Oh, your best friend slides right next side. You can say, buddy, I've been waiting. Follow me, and we're going places. That's it. Just follow me, man. You know what he doesn't do when you come back to him? You know what he doesn't say? Where in the world you been? Come on. Did you see what I did for you? Ungrateful. He just comes right next to you and says, good to have you home. Let's go. Where are we going? In my house. In my Father's house. Many mansions. He says, that's where I'm going, and I want you to be there with me. Whew. I'm telling you what, I have to tell you this morning. I look at this, and I know, I'm in Bible college. You know, they say, well, you know, if a the pastors, I can't be perfect. Believe me. I wish in Bible college they gave you this little pill that you took and then you never did anything wrong because you're a pastor. I'm a human being just like you. I can be double-minded just like you. I can be like a wave. When I look at this, I think, what am I doing? I need to just look at him. That's it. Get my family looking at him. I mean, if Bitcoin can go, if all I have, you know what I invested in Jesus? You know what I brought to him? Absolutely nothing. And you know what he did? He allowed me to stand behind that pulpit, a beggar, gets to open that Bible. Now, I don't even know how you put math on that kind of equation. I don't know how he gives me 5 children. I mean, I can go on and on and talk about what does the Bible say about God loading us daily with his benefits. That's a verse in the Bible. He loadeth, load, not give. Give is like this, right? Give is get my glasses out of here tied to everything else in my pocket. Right? Give is this. Load would be taking every pair of glasses in this room and giving it to him. He said he daily loadeth me with benefits. I can get a dividend from God, check from God every second of my life, and you will, I mean, and you know what it does? As you begin to grow in Christ, it multiplies to the point as you cannot put a price. You could not value the stock that you have in Jesus Christ. There's not a number or amount of zeros you can stick behind any number that would equal what I have by just following him. Nowhere on this earth could you measure the value of that one single thing. Now here's the question. No fake, just real. I don't know. Maybe you got this and you're 100% sold out. But if we're honest, most of us spend some time being double-minded. We spend some time like a wave tossed to and fro. What if we, that day on that mountain, there was a battle, they decided who was God. Those people who were worshiping Baal tried to get their God to send fire down from heaven, and it was a no-go. That stock bottomed out, and everybody lost money. And then Elijah got up, and he cashed his stock in. And God said, don't just put the dead cow on there. He said, you go take buckets of water and you die. See, Baal couldn't do it with a dry cow. God said, okay, Elijah, I'm going to light this thing on fire, but I want them to know who this is. He said, go get buckets of water. And that doesn't make any sense. You want me to burn it and get it wet first? Why? Because God says, you don't understand. I have no limits. I can burn a hole right through this earth. He said, get it wet. Not only did they get it wet, Sean, they dug a ditch around it. And they're pouring water into the ditch. Everything is soaking wet. Now God's saying, all right, I want you to today to make a decision. Baal, no show. You can follow him if you want, but watch these fireworks. Elijah prayed. Elijah prayed and said, God, would you show these people that you're real? And you know what he did? He sent fire from heaven. It burnt the sacrifice. It burnt the rocks. It burnt the dirt. And it licked up all the water. Amen. And God, and you know, you would think there'd be a line. I mean, you're over here. Okay? There's a lot. There's the false prophets and their dead cow and their prophets are bleeding. All of a sudden, God burnt. Man, I'd be like, get over here. I'm going where he's going. Do you know? He went and took those prophets of Baal down to the brook, cut their heads off, and rolling down into the brook. I mean, blood's going everywhere. And you know what? I wish I could tell you that the children of Israel that got behind Elijah that day and said, who is on the Lord's side? And they said, I am. I wish I could tell you they always stayed there, but if you read the Bible, they didn't. Well, that's them. This is us. Let me ask you something.
Are you following him with all your heart? If you don't, you will continually be frustrated. What about today? You know what? I would tell you to put your eggs in one basket on this earth would be silly. I would never. Now, I respect the guy who did that, who thinks that Bitcoin's that big of a deal, that he can take every bit of his retirement and stick it in that. And I'm going to say, you're a man of faith. But I promise you, you can take everything you have. You can take every egg you have and dump it in God's basket. You'll never lose. I can promise you 100% you will always, you will never regret that. I mean, you can take every dream you have and give it to the Lord. You can take every desire you have and he'll just give it to him. And at the end of the day, I promise you, the smile on your face will tell the story that you will never regret doing that. Now, you try to buy Bitcoin today, it's $60,000. I can't invest in that. Well, I could buy an eighth of 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 an eighth. Try to hold on to that. But man, you can still today invest in heaven. The trading hours are still open. They only close when you die and he comes back. Well, what are we waiting for with a God like that? Why wouldn't we follow him? Why would we only live half-hearted? Why would you ever tell God no? Why would you ever put limits on what you would or wouldn't do to him? He's saying, I can leap over walls. I can outrun the wind. And Dave, well, God, I can't do that. And he says, Dave, you don't need to. You don't need to worry about what you can't do. You don't need to worry about whether or not you can walk on water because I can. You don't need to worry about whether or not you can jump over that wall because I can jump over that wall. All you need to do is get behind me. So I'm wondering this morning if there might be some people, maybe you're here today and I'm telling you what you don't want to find when you get to heaven and your life portfolio is opened up and your investment of your whole entire life sitting there and God says to you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You know what he's going to say? You never invested in me. You never gave your life to me. So what you have is what you started out with. Nothing. That's what you have. Nothing. But man, I tell you what, you can take a little widow lady that's been faithful to church, pray for her pastor, serve God the best of her ability, and she can open that portfolio and the price would be astronomically high. One life dedicated, Lord, serve him. God can do way more with your life than you'll ever do with your life on your own. And what we need to do is find a place at this old-fashioned altar. And who cares? It doesn't matter. Well, why? What do they? Who cares what people think? If God is God, then let's serve him. And let's, if you're here and you're not saved, then Sunday night or Friday night, Ackham was preaching at Piney Grove. He just talked about his salvation. He was sitting in a little, on a mud brick. He had a scholarship to Africa. He's sitting on a mud brick in a church. Everybody living in a mud hut. He's got a scholarship to Africa, to play soccer for Zambia. He was going to be wealthy. He was going to have fame. He's sitting there. God knew Ackham was there, put a message on that pastor's heart, and he's sitting there, dirt floor, people don't even have shoes on. He's got a bus ticket to go play soccer for Zambia, and the pastor says this, what profit is a man if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? On that day, Ackham invested. He gave up that dream of soccer and traded it for following Jesus. You ask him today if he regrets that. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you know what? So he preached that Friday night. Right after the service,
she was like 14 years old, came running to the front and just knelt at the altar. Then everybody in the church knelt around her. And they started praying. I wasn't even sure really what was going on. A few minutes later, somebody jumped up and said she got saved. You know what happened? She heard the same thing Akam heard. And she thought, I got to invest in that. And she got saved. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that can just need to hit this altar and just ask God to save you. And you know what? That's all you need to do. But you know what ought to be all around? It's not just them. All of us. All of us in our mind. I mean, ought to hit this altar and say, God, I've been double-minded. Help me to just follow you. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Miss Sandy to come. As she comes, finds her place at the piano. If God spoke to your heart,